KRC Tri-State Weather. It was another hot one out there. Got a little hotter than we expected, making it up into the low 90s in most areas with heat indices in the upper 90s. So a very warm and humid evening ahead. We'll drop to 80 by 10 p.m. down to an overnight low of 67. Skies tonight clear to partly cloudy. Partly cloudy, warm and humid tomorrow. The high temperature about 88. I'm meteorologist Steve Horstmeyer on 55 KRC. We have you covered.
Right now, 87 degrees at 55 KRC, the talk station.
Call 1-800-267-2001, Alarm Force.
Gary Sullivan here with great news. Call EverDry today and see if you can qualify for the 2010 Energy Tax Credit of up to $1,500. Foundation walls are a huge source of energy loss, especially if they're cracking or leaking. Save energy with EverDry's patented system that includes the Easy Breathe ventilation system, the Smart Power Backup, and a lifetime transferable warranty. I recommend EverDry because they do it once, they do it right, and they do it permanently. Call EverDry today. That's EverDry Waterproofing, 874-7200 or EverDryCincy.com.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of 55 KRC, the talk station, and Clear Channel Worldwide.
Target acquisition confirmed.
You have a green light.
Locked and loaded.
It's Trigger Time.
Hello, that's right. It is Trigger Time. This is Joe Barrett, your host. For the next hour, we're going to talk about guns and gun-related topics. If you'd like to join the show, 749-5500, 513-749-5500. You know what I hate? I hate those don't carry signs that they put on the outside of businesses. You see, unfortunately, some businesses with these do not carry your concealed weapons in here. We're going to talk a little bit about those signs and maybe a few others and a lot of other things tonight. If you've got a question, comment, 749-5500. For now, let's introduce our panel of commentators. My wife, Amy, is with us.
Hi, everybody.
Scott's here as well.
Good evening.
And our legal counsel, Tina of Kirkendall Barrett Law Offices, is here.
Hello.
And tonight, our guest is Dr. Keith Nelson. He is a regular on the show, as you'll recall, and he's agreed to help us tonight with questions that might come in. Dr. Nelson, it's a pleasure to have you again.
Pleasure as always, Joe.
Appreciate you being here, and I know that the listeners really look forward to Dr. Nelson's visits. It's always a good show. 749-5500 if you have a question or a comment. For those of you who may not know what I'm referring to, there's a, you know, in Ohio we have a CCW law, carry concealed weapon law now. You can get a license to carry a concealed handgun. Businesses and other, you know, facilities have the right to put a sign on the door that says "Do not carry in here." Now, I'm not trying to just across the board attack people. We're going to talk about this. I'm going to listen. But here's my point. Okay, what I don't like about it is this. Okay, you're not doing anything to prohibit criminals from bringing guns into that facility. What you are doing is advertising, first of all, that no one in here has got a gun. Second of all, you are saying to the criminal, or you're saying to the law-abiding citizen, you may come in here, but you may not bring your firearm. And if something happens in here, you will simply not be able to defend yourself. Now, the point is that these signs don't keep guns out. If you want to keep guns out of your facility, fine. Put metal detectors up and stop them from coming in. But simply putting that sign up, that just means that no legal firearms are going to come in. I don't think, you know, a couple of scumbags that are bent on doing evil are going to stop. You know, they're going to rob the 7-Eleven, and they get to the door, and they're like, oh, wait a minute,
there's a sign.
Hey, there's a sign here. I mean, we better not go in there and rob this place. I mean, I was willing to take the armed robbery and possibly the murder charges, but now if they're going to add on this sign, how many dice do we run a roll here? So that's the thing. It's absurd. You're not preventing anything except law-abiding people from being able to defend themselves, and that's the problem with them. That's what we don't like about them. Dr. Nelson, I know that you probably feel similarly.
Oh yeah, you know, like you say. It's just a prohibition against legal guns. And all it's doing is saying to a potential criminal that there's no other buddy that's armed in here.
Yeah,
right.
That's
not
why
a good
it's
thing.
The most dangerous place in America, a gun-free right. zone, you know, because
that's right.
Yeah, it's what
you're reign.
Exactly. What you're saying here is that we're not, you know, we're not there are no firearms in here by all means, sir. Come on in and don't worry about watching your back or anything because
it's a welcome sign.
Yeah, it is. That's a good point. Yeah. It's a welcome sign.
And it's nice to know that the business owners are willing to allow you to become a victim also along with them.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing. You know, and here's the thing. I'm not speaking from a position of ignorance, okay? I'm a business owner. And we have 4 retail stores around the tri-state area. And when the CCW first came out, I wrestled with the topic myself for one reason. We're in a high-risk industry. We deal in a lot of gold, a lot of items of extremely high value. And the concern was that, you know, we are at a higher risk for criminal attack, and I didn't want customers to be prompted to try to see something developing and get themselves hurt or act too quickly because we have other security measures that are in place that they wouldn't be aware of. However, regardless of those thoughts, I still could not put the signs up because I am denying them. I am denying them their personal protection. I am saying I'm allowing you to come into this high risk industry. I've got the stuff here and I'm advertising for you to come in and I'm letting you in. But you may not protect yourself while you're here. If something happens, if things get beyond our control, no. And I wouldn't do that. I can't do that. And I think that if the people that are in charge, I mean, am I wrong? Maybe the human resources people, I think if they think about it from a perspective of, you know what, we're not really stopping the bad guys. You know, we're really just inhibiting the good guys.
I think some of the mindset is not so much the person that you're preventing, it's the evil gun. They don't want the evil gun on the premises.
Yes, the carte blanche, there's not really a thinking process going on there. It's just that we're going to exclude guns and we're going to be safer. But in reality, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's a knee-jerk reaction.
It's the opposite, actually.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. They see the word gun. They say, no gun, no gun, no gun.
Right. Too many decisions are made with emotionalism, you know, in our society and not really rational thought.
And I actually heard somebody that is in a corporate, in a position to make rules. And you know what he told me? I can't tell you who it was. I mean, I can tell you off the air, but I can't say over there who it was. He says, well, Joe, what you got to understand is, you know, when you're in a corporate setting and you have a guy that's got a gun at his desk and or a lady in her purse, she gets mad at her boss. All she's got to do is walk down there and get a gun and blow his brains out. And I said, you know, but I said, or she could just take the pencil out of her pot or her hair
Pair
and
scissors.
Sink it right into his eye. Right. I mean, how ridiculous a thing is this?
I think a lot of the laws are predicated on what someone might do.
Yeah.
And you can take that to infinity.
You can never stop there.
Exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't ever end, what people might do. The bottom line is, we do know what does happen, though. There's the active shooter, active killer issue where you might be in an office building someday, and all of a sudden you hear gunshots ringing out down the hallway. Now, your employer has been really responsible and told you can't bring no guns in here, but they've done nothing to stop them from coming in the hands of a criminal. Yeah. So now you are literally a fish in a barrel. You are a fish in a barrel because this does happen. It happens all the time. We know it does. And the employees, if they can't get out, they have little to do but wait their turn. And it is all because somebody didn't think about what are we really stopping here. These people are law-abiding citizens. They are trained. They're trained. If they have a concealed weapon permit, they are trained. What are we stopping here? We're stopping individual self-defense.
And there's a specter also, and I don't know if it's happened yet, of somebody prohibiting a firearm from coming in, and an incident does happen. What's the liability then for the management?
Right. Well, I know that I don't know what the liability would be, but I know they would find out if it were me or my wife, if she had a permit or I had a permit, and I had to leave it outside because of this sign, this rule that they made that's not based on anything, and something were to happen, and that firearm might have changed the outcome for me or my loved one. I believe you me, I would find out.
You're probably familiar with a case down in Killeen, Texas. It happened, I think, in 91. I was down living in Texas at the time, and somebody came in, a mentally unstable person, and started shooting a cafeteria at Luby's ended up killing like 42 people or something. It was just awful. And there was several people with concealed carry permits at the time, and they weren't allowed to go into the building.
Well, perfect. Great example.
And that could have been stopped.
Absolutely, it could have been stopped. It could have been stopped.
It's just ignorance, really. I mean, and this is not uncommon in our history. I mean, there was a time when people were afraid to have fluoride put in the water. And so, no fluoride. Bad. And over time, with some education, we found out that it was not evil, and it did good. And now, our society is not all running around with rotting teeth.
Right. It's an evolution. We're trying to evolve beyond stupidity. And sometimes I guess I get impatient. I don't want to wait for it. But 749-5500 if you'd like to join the show. We do have to take a short break. I know I've got a couple callers on the line. We'll get back to you as soon as we come back. Back in a moment with more Trigger Time here on 55KRC, the talk station.
55KRC.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
Hi, it's Scott Sloan. I got something crazy fun for you to do on your next date night. Movie, bar, bowling. How many times are you going to do that? Seriously. Check this out. Target World. That's right. Target World. They have a full line of rental handguns, ammo, and an indoor range. All in a safe, clean environment. And when I went in, I couldn't believe how many men and women, how many couples were having fun. If you're new to shooting, no problem. Their friendly experts will have you locked, loaded, and having a good time. If you've always wanted to try it, Target World has you covered. They also have classes from basic to advanced, concealed carry, and more. Of course, if you own a gun or you're ready to buy one, they have almost 3,000 firearms in stock, almost double what the other guys have. Plus, ammo, holsters, safes, archery, paintball equipment, and more. Target World is right off 275 in Sharonville. They're open 7 days a week. Or you can check them out online at targetworld.net. I'll see you at the Tri-State's home for shooting sports, Target World.
The new Affordable Care Act offers important new benefits to people with Medicare. If you're enrolled in a Medicare prescription drug plan and enter the donut hole this year, you will receive a one-time tax-free $250 rebate if you are not already receiving Medicare Extra Help. After you reach the donut hole, your check will be mailed to the same address Medicare uses to send you information. No need to do anything special, and no need to give anyone your personal Medicare information if they call you. If you have any questions, visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Brought to you by Medicare and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Providing you with a wealth of information. From the Coordinated Financial Planning Studios, this is 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55KRC, the talk station. If you'd like to join the show with a question or a comment, give us a call now at 749-5500.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time. We're talking guns, gun-related topics. We're focusing a little bit early in the show here on the no-carry signs that we see on the entrances of businesses, hopefully on the entrances. That's where they should be, even though I went through a pet store in Fairfield. I was in there for 45 minutes, got to the cash register, and there it is on the cash register.
That's not legitimate.
Yeah, no. That's absurd. If it's not posted in a place that's going to let me know when I'm coming in that you'd like me to die quietly in the corner if anything happens, then I'm not going
to
know.
So. It's our right as consumers as well to complain to the management and say, we're not going to do business here anymore. Not in a threatening manner,
no.
But, everyone has their option to.
That's right. Oh, I wouldn't knowingly spend a dime in a place like that unless I absolutely had to. Right. I just absolutely wouldn't. Okay, let's talk to Sam. Sam's on cell phone. Hi, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Good.
I'm a business owner, and I also am an FFL owner. I'm a pawn shop owner, and however, we don't sell guns to the public. I job out to other FFL owners.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I noticed when I began to do that was that my insurance rates dropped. So when I saw those signs on the buildings that do not carry your gun in the door,
mm-hmm.
my first thought was twofold. And that was one, was the building owner doing that to try to deal with less contentious insurance issues? And then the second thought was, one of your commentators there alluded to a lawsuit in Texas brought by some people who apparently were in a bad situation that they feel they could have changed the outcome mm-hmm. had they been allowed to have their gun.
Right.
My question is, how many attorneys are sitting out there now that we live in the land of no tort reform, waiting for the lawsuit where something happened inside of a building where they were allowed to bring their guns.
Right.
And, you know, it seems to me like it's a no-win situation for the property owner.
He's it is.
He's going to get pounced on no matter what.
It is a no-win situation. There's no question. One thing I can tell you for sure is nothing can keep you from being sued. Nothing can keep you from being sued. Not logic, not reason, not innocence. Nothing can keep you from being sued. But, you know, and it comes back to this. I had a discussion with an instructor during a training program where, you know, he and I had a little bit of a disagreement over when I pulled the trigger on a training exercise.
Mm-hmm.
My main point is this. I want to go home to my family tonight. Now, and I realize as a business owner, as a property owner, I may not care if Jim Jones over there goes home to his family tonight more than I care about my insurance premium or getting sued, and we have the right not to care about that. But I believe the paramount issue really is personal safety. I wouldn't advocate necessarily handing guns out at the door to people that may or may not be trained, knowledgeable, or know how to use them. But in Ohio, if you have a concealed weapon permit, you have had some training, you do know how to safely handle the gun, you have at least been taught when to employ it, when not to employ it. And again, when you put that sign up and you're in a business, then you have announced to the public, there are no firearms in here. In other words, everybody in here is a sitting duck.
Sure.
I still feel like it's just, I hear what you're saying, and I know there are other issues, there always are. But I believe that a person's right to personal defense is the paramount issue.
Actually, I tend to be in the same mindset as you. My business partner, much like one of your commentators I heard earlier, also specifically does not patronage businesses that have the do not carry sign in their window. This puts me in mind of that old bumper sticker that, you know, I would rather be convicted by a jury of 12 than carried by six.
Yeah. Sam, thank you for the call, buddy.
Thank you. Have
All
a
right,
good evening.
Bye-bye. 749-5500. Well, I guess that's an issue. Insurance. I don't know if there's an insurance.
I'm not familiar with the insurance, you know? But I'm sure it does impact to some degree. But
yeah.
There's pluses and minuses to everything.
Everything. Yeah, and I hear what they're saying. But again, in my opinion, we're talking about a person's right to live and breathe. You know,
right.
and you know, when you have incidents like Luby's and more recent ones where we know from statistics, not from the media, because the media won't tell you, but we know statistically that 75% of the active shooter incidents that happen in this country are stopped by civilians, not by law enforcement.
Right.
Now, knowing that, what in the world are we doing when we tell a group of people that are trained and legally allowed, licensed to carry a firearm, you may not have it with you when you're in this situation? You start hearing gunshots cracking off down at your boss's desk and you know they're coming your way. Believe me, all those insurance questions and all that, other, none of that's going to matter, you know, and I don't know. It's just my opinion. 749-5500. We do have a Bob's been holding for a little bit. Let's get to Bob. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Bob?
It's fine. I have a question that's kind of off your subject a little bit.
We can live with that. Go ahead.
It seems like when they passed the Castle Law in Ohio that you didn't hear much about it.
I don't know. I read about it. What's your...
Well, the question I had was, I wonder if you could comment on the Castle Law, when you could use deadly force and when you can't.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. That's it.
I'll hang up and listen to you on my radio.
All right, Bob. We'll do that. Dr. Nelson?
Yeah, the Castle modifications to the law. It's not a law per se, but it modified the existing concealed carry law, and it was passed in September of 08. And it just modified some provisions of it. One of them is that if someone is involved in a crime, say a home entry or something like that, they get shot or whatever or hurt, they can't turn around and sue. Because they were involved in a criminal act. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is.
The other thing is that there's a duty to retreat that's still on the books. In other words, if you can get out of a situation, legally you should do it.
Yep.
And that makes sense, too. You want to anyway.
Right.
Before, if someone went to court, they would have to prove that they could not retreat from a situation. It's very hard to resurrect a situation like that.
Well, absolutely.
It's impossible almost. And what this did was turned the tables a little bit and made the prosecutor responsible for proving you couldn't, and that's hard for them to do.
Yeah.
So it made a few modifications, and it didn't – I think people see it as a lot more than it really was.
Mm-hmm.
But it did some good things.
It did some good things.
It's a doctrine, really. It sort of informs the way that we're going to go about handling things like that.
Right.
So just to clarify, I mean, obviously somebody could still sue you if they broke into your house. It's just not going anywhere.
Right.
And at one time, it could potentially go somewhere. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And one thing to think about is that, you know, that the way where it comes from is the castle, you know, your home is your castle. And in Ohio, that does extend to your vehicle. Your vehicle or a vehicle owned by a family member.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like we said, it did do some good things. It probably wasn't the windfall that, you know, maybe some people made it out to be. But absolutely, I think it clarified some things and made some things in our favor that maybe weren't.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Okay, 749-5500 if you'd like to join the show. Let's go to Bob in Pleasant Ridge. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you very much, and thank you for taking my call. I must tell you, preface everything by simply saying that I am also a trainer, and I was issued license number 15 from the good sheriff here in Hamilton County.
That's early.
Yeah,
you were quick.
No, okay. Basically, I think you will find – well, first of all, no one in Texas would have prosecuted Suzanne Gracia when that guy came crashing through the front window in his pickup.
Right.
Both of her parents were killed, so right. That's a moot point.
But she didn't have the gun on her because of
because of the sign, right.
That's right. Her detective special was out in her car.
Yeah.
But what I was going to say mainly is the fact that I think you will find over the several years now that the law has been in place, number one, the largest food chain in the area no longer has signs in their windows. The largest bank in the Cincinnati-Hamilton County area, and I think we all know who they are, no longer has signs in their windows. And the high-end strip mall over in Norwood had three signs of their total in their windows over there, and they are all gone.
You do see a lot fewer of them.
Yeah, there
absolutely
a lot of them come down.
Absolutely, a
lot
less.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
Thank you.
And yeah, thank you, Bob. And I, you know, and that's a point we ought to make. That you know, we do notice that when this first came out, I think there were a lot of non-gun people that heard, oh my God, there's going to be people running around here with guns. Mm-hmm. Let's get one of them signs printed up. And then I think people began to get a little more educated, and they saw, well, wait a minute, there haven't really been any incidents reported of Yosemite Sam walking down the aisle at Kroger, you know, shooting the place up.
Rational thought stuck its head up.
Yeah.
The other thing is economic pressures, like we said. If less people shop there, then the business owner is going to suffer. And
right.
It's not, like you say, it's not a coercion or a threat or anything. It's just a fact.
It's an individual
and,
choice.
If
yeah.
you want our business, yeah, then you have to not put the signs up.
Exactly. And I mean, not only is that not unreasonable, I think that's good. That's good sound.
Sure, it is. It's
our
right.
On our part, it's our right. Absolutely. Okay, 749-5500 number to call. Let's go to Joe in Silverton. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I've got a question on the do they have any plans to change the Ohio law on concealed carry?
And in what regard?
Well, the reason I ask that is because I can legally buy a gun. I could go down to any gun shop in town today and buy a gun, no problem. But I cannot get a concealed carry permit because of an assault charge 15 years ago.
That I don't know about. I wouldn't think that there's going to be any changes in that regard. No, I haven't heard of any changes like that are coming. I think a crime that is a violent crime, especially, but actually we're going to talk later in the show about some of these prohibitions in the next half hour, because actually it includes a lot of things. But I would say that an assault charge is going to preclude you.
Well, in my opinion,
and I'm not saying I agree with it. I don't agree with it at all because here's the thing: you can get arrested and convicted for domestic violence and a lot of other things in this country, in this state, for no good reason at all, and that can change your whole life. No, I'm not. Believe me, I'm not advocating it. I think in many cases it's probably misapplied.
Well, my point is this: if I can legally buy a gun,
yeah, why can't you carry it?
Yeah, why can't I carry it? And I had a state senator tell me, well, then carry it open. Well, you know what happens if I try
that's
to do
not
that.
That's not a reasonable option.
I'm going to be stopped every 5 minutes.
You sure will. Joe, I wish I had an answer for you, buddy, but I don't.
Okay,
but
thank you.
Thank you, sir. 749-5500. Tina?
I will say that there are a couple of bills that are coming in front of the House that you may want to talk to your representative about. And one of them will have something to do with clearing up some of the disability issues in Ohio versus how you do it in for federal law. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to the aim is to get those in sync. So while that may not specifically address his issue, there's a lot out there.
Sounds
right
like
now.
There's something happening.
Yeah, it's
at
past
least.
The Senate. It's yeah. going in front of the House. They're not meeting until their summer's up.
Yeah.
And so,
and I know what he's saying. If I can buy the gun, why can't I? You know,
yeah, it's
I
just
know.
Two different systems. Basically.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Two different systems, yeah. Okay, 749-5500. We do have to take a break for the news. If you'd like to join the show, go ahead and call in now. I know I have callers on the line. I'll get to you as soon as I get back from the news. Back in a moment with more Trigger Time with Joe Barrett here on 55KRC, the talk station.
55KRC.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55KRC, the talk station.
This is a 30:30 Fox News update on 55KRC, the talk station.
Fox News Radio, I'm Don Matheson. The White House condemning a leak of Afghan war records. The documents include previously unreported incidents of civilian killings and covert operations against the Taliban. National Security Advisor General James Jones calls the leak a threat to national security. A U.S. official confirms to Fox News that BP's chief executive Tony Hayward is out as of tomorrow.
Clearly, there was a lot of pressure on him. I think he and the board decided that for BP to go forward and repair its relations and its brand, he had to step down.
Monica Langley with the Wall Street Journal reports managing director Bob Dudley will be named the new CEO. A positive economic outlook from the Treasury Secretary.
I think the most likely thing is you see an economy that gradually strengthens over the next year or two.
Timothy Geithner speaking on NBC's Meet the Press. The secretary is forecasting slow job growth.
55 KRC.
You know, nowadays we have more ceramic tile in our homes than ever before, and I have a company to recommend to you that will professionally clean that tile and grout. The name of the company is SureClean. SureClean is more experienced cleaning tile and grout than anyone in Cincinnati. Listen, you have your carpets professionally cleaned. You also should have your tile and grout cleaned. You won't believe the difference. I want you to call Jason at SureClean, 754-0123. Tell him Gary sent you. Remember the name, SureClean, 754-0123.
Ryan Thomas, Monday on the Morning Show. Nathan Bachrach and Ed Fink for Money Monday and a spleen vent from my dad. 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55KRC, the talk station.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. We're talking guns and gun-related topics. A lot about concealed carry tonight and then the do not carry signs. We don't like those things. Coming up later in the show, I do want to mention the transformation I've seen in my wife since we went out to Tactical Defense Institute for training. She and I went out for handgun 1 through 3, and then it was her idea to go back on her birthday, beginning on her birthday, for handgun 4 and 5, which was that was 4 days. A handgun 1 through 3 was 3 days. So we spent, you know, literally 7 days, 60 hours, and almost 10,000 rounds out there. And she has become, it's amazing. She carries her gun all the time. It's like a part of her. It's different. It's just really unique. I'm glad to see it. It's what I always wanted, but I could never seem to get her to do it. And it was a confidence issue. It was a training issue. So we're going to hear from Amy every week, because I think women, you know, they can listen to me yap all day long, but women like to hear from other women that have actually done it and made this transition, and it hasn't, you know. And Amy's a normal woman. She's not like me. I'm not a normal guy, but Amy's like one of the real good normal people.
Woman.
Yeah.
Like,
she's just like a normal
girly girl.
She's a girly girl that now carries a Glock. That's right. Okay, let's go to the phones. We've got Herb and Goshen. Hi, Herb. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Great show, guys.
Thank you.
Question for you. Does concealed carry also go for knives?
In Ohio, no. Now, the Kentucky license reads deadly weapon, and what that means, I don't really know. Maybe
yeah.
bazookas or knives or whatever.
Well, the reason I'm asking, a friend of mine is 84 years old, was a property manager, maintenance for somewhere up in Clifton. Got beset upon by a street person that literally picked him up and threw him across the room. He drew his knife. The guy poked himself on it. and that changed the whole outcome of what could have been a bad situation. The guy ran up the steps, shaking blood everywhere. It looked like
So did he get charged with the knife?
Well, they had him up against the wall with the handcuffs, saying, "How did you slash the guy?" He said, "I didn't slash him. I just poked him. He kind of fell with his hand on my knife when he was going for me."
Yeah, in Ohio, it is a concealed handgun law. It's not actually a concealed weapon permit. It's a concealed handgun permit, so it is only for handguns.
Okay, well, anyway, they took the knife away and never gave it back to him, and now he's taking the concealed carry course.
Well, good for him. Good for him. He should have shot the guy anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Herb. 749-5500. If you want to join the show, let's go to Jeff in Trenton. Hi, Jeff. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hey, I've got somewhere at the other end of the spectrum. Have you ever heard of Stoner Holster?
Sure.
They have two signs up, and when you first pull up, you think, you got to be kidding me. They have a concealed carry sign. It actually, I don't know, I don't want to quote this wrong, but it basically reads, if you're a criminal, please leave your firearm in your vehicle. But if you're a law-abiding citizen, you know,
by all means, carry your. Yeah, I thought about doing that at my shop. I was going to put
a. Sell them there.
I was going to put a sign up with a big green circle around guns. You know, instead of the red circle with the cross, I was going to put a green. I know what you're saying. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye. Yeah, I've heard of Stoner Holster. They make a lot of good products. Yeah. So, okay, let's go to Dave. I'm sorry. Dave, welcome to the show. You there? Dave's not there. All right, no problem. Let's go to Gary in Kennedy Heights. Hi, Gary. Welcome to the show.
Good evening. I run a company that deals with LED and other high-intensity lighting for energy saving. As a side effect, I began to experiment with some of these really high-tech flashlights, and a few years ago, I heard a voice behind me as I was leaving the downtown library, "You need to give me your wallet." I turned around and gave him about 80 lumens from 2 inches away in size.
Yeah.
He had a little, about a 15-year-old young man who got a lesson in not being stupid in public. I said, I gave him a long-winded lesson. I was really mad at the guy. Wow. You know, he's got his elbows on his knees. He's bent over saying, "Oh, my eyes, what did you do? What did you do?"
Yeah.
And this went on. And then I said, with concealed carry, I could have shot you. I was going to say, you need to go home and quit being stupid in public.
Right.
Another voice behind me says, "Well, I would have shot you." So I turned around and beamed the guy on the chest. I said, "I just shot you." And I said, "Did you shot your friend again?" And I said, "Now I'm holding it in my hand."
Yeah.
See, he's going to die for his pocket. I said, "The two of you guys need to go home right now. Well, we can go right back in, and I can get the sheriff, and you can go to jail."
Not exactly a bunch of advanced criminals, are they?
Well, I also want to I've had an incident with a higher-powered version. Officer Brown in Norwood, T.A. Brown?
No.
I won't name any more names, Steve, but I have one experimenting with this. These are approximately 2 to 20 times more powerful than the typical police flashlight. They have one that puts a beam out to 1,900 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And focuses.
Right.
Okay. And the one that I carry permanently with me, I'll never leave home without it. It looks like a flashlight. Unfortunately, I wish I could show you something that looked like Star Trek phasers on stun. But this one has a pulse feature and all that.
Right.
And they range, the one I'm zeroing in on is somewhere above 400 lumens. It's made by a German manufacturer. But I've had one case in broad daylight, just in case somebody's wondering. I had a pit bull come charging across the yard. Mm-hmm. I wasn't watching it, let it off the rope or whatever. He's wearing his earphones doing the lawn and didn't hear me saying, "Stop your dog." So I got it out, and just as the dog jumped, the dog's airborne with his jaws about 3 feet from my face.
Wow.
And I got him in the eyes, and down he went and toddled back into the bushes.
Well,
and the worst side effect was my chest jumping up and down from a rapid beating heart for 4 hours.
Yeah, I think that would have done it. I tell you what, I'm glad the flashlight worked, Gary. I do appreciate the call. We thank you very much. The flashlight thing, by the way, that is part of the training, and we've covered that out of TDI, and it's something that you really should take seriously. A good flashlight can be a very useful deterrent type item.
And we recommend that in defense course, too, and concealed carry, that at home you should have a flashlight of some sort, because it can spot your potential hostile, and you can see if they're carrying a weapon, and if you know them. You don't want to be shooting at shadows.
No, exactly.
And some of these new lights that have come out, I saw a review on one 511 makes. A friend of mine is a distributor for it, and It is very powerful LED, plus it's had the strobe effect, which is incapacitating.
Yeah.
This is what I think he was saying. And that could be a useful weapon. I don't know if I'd preclude a gun,
but
it's still useful.
But it sounds to me like he carries both, and he just he opted for the flashlight. And the flashlight worked, and that's good. But, you know, a flashlight is something that you should have.
And this one actually charges with a capacitor, so it recharges in 90 seconds.
Wow.
And then it's good for about an hour, hour and 20
amazing.
Minutes.
That's amazing. Okay, well, like I said, we're gonna do a Amy's gonna do a segment for us. We're gonna do this every week so that you can hear something from the woman's perspective, Amy.
Okay, it won't happen to me. I live in a good neighborhood. I avoid rough areas, and I date or I'm married to a nice guy. These are statements of denial. In an ideal world, women would never have to fear attack, but that's not the world we live in. Whatever their race, marital status, sexual preference, place of residence, education, or income level, 3/4 of all women will become a victim of crime. More than a third will be violently assaulted, raped, or robbed in their lifetimes. These are the unpleasant realities we have to think about, prepare for, and face head-on if we're going to increase our odds of staying safe. Our safety is our responsibility. The safety of our children is our responsibility. Not just our husbands or boyfriends. They may not be with you when an attack occurs. And if they are, what if there's more than one assailant? You might say, well, I'll call the police. Rarely do circumstances allow police officers to stop a crime in progress. They are employed to patrol, maintain peace, and investigate crimes after the fact. Once you stop trying to ignore these facts and decide that you want to be able to defend yourself should the need arise, there are several steps you can take to get started. You can get books on self-defense, such as Personal Defense for Women or Effective Defense, both by Gilla Hayes. These books discuss using firearms and other non-lethal weapons for self-defense, as well as developing a safety-conscious attitude and methods to increase your safety in various surroundings. You can find a local self-defense class or concealed carry class. Many women who have had little or no exposure to firearms may find the subject frightening, but it doesn't have to be. Once you become a gun owner and get the proper training, you may end up devoted to guns in a way that would have seemed unimaginable. With knowledge and competency comes confidence and a determination to defend yourself. That's what happened for me. For years, my husband drilled various safety precautions into my head. Keep the doors locked. Alarm set. Pay attention to your surroundings. He would drag me to Target World and make me shoot and tell me that I was going to get my concealed carry permit, something that did not thrill me, because even though I could shoot a gun pretty well and I could change the magazine, I didn't feel like I knew enough to carry it on a regular basis. What if it malfunctioned? For years, anytime something happened out of the ordinary, I would put the gun down and have him fix it. If I was going to carry a concealed weapon, I wanted more training. So Joe signed us both up for handgun 1-3 at the Tactical Defense Institute in West Union, Ohio. By the end of the first day, I was hooked. I learned that the best way to hold the gun, how to stand, how to work the trigger to increase my speed and accuracy. I couldn't wait to go back the next morning. By the end of the third day, I knew how to clear my gun if it malfunctioned, how to shoot while moving, and how to use cover. I felt transformed when we left, as anyone I came into contact with during the next week will tell you. Right, Joe?
That's right.
Right, Scott? At my request, as Joe told you, we returned to TDI a few weeks later for handgun 4 and 5 for my birthday. Now, maybe you don't think that you're ready for a firearm just yet. But think about it and get started somehow to take responsibility for your own safety. Read a book. Take a class. Get your concealed carry permit. Even if you don't feel comfortable enough to carry your firearm right away, with additional training and practice, you will. By relying on police and others to defend us, we perpetuate a society that perceives, trains, and treats women as unequal and as victims, making us the targets of victimization by strangers, acquaintances, or mates. Instead of blindly accepting the traditional role of the weaker female, we need to expand it to include the defender of life. Every woman should learn defenses against anyone who would injure her, take her life, or harm those in her care, even if that defense means threatening or taking the attacker's life. The best self-defense weapon is worthless without your determination to preserve your own life and well-being at the expense of the assailants if necessary. Accepting responsibility for your own safety and taking the steps necessary to prepare yourself should the need arise will give you peace of mind and greatly increase your odds of escaping an attack unharmed. Please get started today.
That's great advice. I mean, you wouldn't believe the difference that we've seen in Amy. Yeah. And she mentioned the other day that she went into a store and couldn't take her gun, and there were these two guys in there that looked like they were following her. And she said, "You want to talk?" She said, "I instantly felt that I realized, oh my God, I don't, you know what I mean? It's something that's become a part of her now. So it's really good. And this should be. I would love to see. You know, you don't have to be a victim. You can equalize things. So, okay, we do have to take a short break. We'll get to the callers as soon as we get back. If you want to join the show, 749-5500. Going to talk more about concealed carry and a few other topics. We're going to talk about that. That ruling,
court ruling,
yeah. So that when we come back, more Trigger Time with Joe Barrett in just a moment here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
55 KRC.
Hi, it's Scott Sloan. I got something crazy fun for you to do on your next date night. Movie, bar, bowling. How many times are you going to do that? Seriously. Check this out. Target World. That's right, Target World. They have a full line of rental handguns, ammo, and an indoor range, all in a safe, clean environment. And when I went in, I couldn't believe how many men and women, how many couples were having fun. If you're new to shooting, no problem. Their friendly experts will have you locked, loaded, and having a good time. If you've always wanted to try it, Target World has you covered. They also have classes from basic to advanced, concealed carry, and more. Of course, if you own a gun or you're ready to buy one, they have almost 3,000 firearms in stock, almost double what the other guys have. Plus, ammo, holsters, safes, archery, paintball equipment, and more. Target World is right off 275 in Sharonville. They're open 7 days a week. Or you can check them out online at targetworld.net. I'll see you at the Tri-State's home for shooting sports, Target World.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "No free man shall ever be precluded the use of arms." The decision to own a firearm isn't an easy one. What type should you buy? Where can you go for training? What are the laws governing carry and transport? And what role does the Second Amendment play in the lives of Americans? Listen in as we delve into this often controversial topic and separate fact from fallacy. Explore the right to bear arms and all that goes with it. Tune in Sunday nights at 7 for Trigger Time with Joe Barrett, right here on 55 KRC, the talk station.
Marilyn Harris, Saturday at 1 p.m. And get her recipes at 55krc.com.
Search recipes.
From 55KRC, the talk station.
Okay, you're back with Trigger Time on 55KRC, the talk station.
Thank you, Amy. That's right. This is Trigger Time. We're talking concealed carry issues, 749-5500. Let's take Dave here. Dave's got a question. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the show.
Yes. I got a question for you. I assume you and the majority of your members or your panelists there are members of the NRA.
That's right.
Are any of them life members?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I have a question for you. If I join the NRA and pay my, you know, my yearly dues,
mm-hmm.
is it true that the first 5 years of that membership, I am a non-voting member?
That wasn't explained to me that way, unless I think if I've never heard anything like that. Actually,
no, I get stuff. I'm actually an annual member. I never bothered to get the life membership, but they send me a voting card. You know, every year.
And I think they always have.
I think every member gets a chance to vote.
Yeah, as far as I know, no, you're not a non-voting member. Now I'll look into that, and if I'm wrong, I'll say it next week. But I'll look into that for you. But I don't think so.
Okay, because like I say, I was under the impression that that was true. And my question was, you know, unless you joined at a premium level, you know, not a life member, but like a patron or type thing. At that point, then you would be a regular voting member, as far as, you know, with their conventions and that. And my question was basically, you know, if I'm going to be joining an organization,
right? Then you'd like to have voting rights.
Would I join it if I didn't have voting rights?
Yeah, I agree with you, but I don't think that's the case. But Dave, thank you for the call, buddy. Okay, 749-5500. If you'd like to join the show, we do have a caller in from Covington. Hello, welcome to the show.
This is E.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I live in Kentucky, and I know that Indiana and Kentucky are reciprocal on concealed carry.
Okay.
Now, what if I come to Ohio? Do they honor it, too?
Dr. Nelson, where is your permit through, Kentucky or
it's
Indiana?
Concealed, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah, Kentucky and Ohio have reciprocity. Now, Indiana and Ohio don't. We can carry there. They can't carry here. But there's full reciprocity between Kentucky and Ohio.
Right.
I am clear to go there.
Yes, you are here.
Yeah,
I was listening to this Mayor Daley up there in Chicago. He sounded like a hypocrite. Yeah. He's against it, yet he's got a bodyguard.
Yeah, he walks around under the protection of armed men telling everybody else that you don't need to carry a gun in probably one of the cities you're most likely to get shot in America.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm from Illinois originally.
Yeah, he is a real dirtbag. I can't stand that.
And you know another thing up there, he's going to make it harder on people to get one. He's trying to make the price higher and everything
right.
else.
Right, well, he wants to deny you access to your Second Amendment rights.
He's a bit psychopathic.
Yeah, he's a real piece of work. But
well, I'm glad I can go to Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana, and I'm going to protect myself.
That's right, you're good. Thank you, sir.
Okay,
thank you for the call.
You.
Make sure that you follow Ohio rules when you're in Ohio. Follow right. the Ohio laws, though.
Yeah. Yeah, when you're in Ohio, carry according to Ohio.
There's a good website, www.handgunlaw.us. Yeah. Very informative on all the laws in the states.
Good website. Okay, let's go to Mike. Mike is calling us, it looks like, from Winchester. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, how can we help?
Hey, I keep hearing you talk about the TDI.
Yeah.
And I live in Winchester. Pardon me. Got me all choked up here. I live in Winchester and have a West Union phone book, but I can't find their number anywhere.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you have internet access?
No, I don't. I don't have W's.
You don't have W's. To be honest with you, I don't have their.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm going to put you on hold. We'll look it up and we'll get you off air. Okay. We'll look the number up for you. Just hold on. All right. Yeah, we're happy to look up the number for TDI. Absolutely. Let's go to Douglas in Northern Kentucky. Hi, Douglas. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. I'm calling to get some additional information regarding the differences between Ohio concealed carry and Kentucky. For example, I know that in Kentucky, once you get your concealed carry, it applies to any type of deadly weapon. In Ohio, it does not.
Right.
Also, if you're involved in a traffic stop, you're supposed to inform the officer upon being stopped, or at least that was the law. I don't know what it currently is. And there was also some issue with regard to how you could carry it inside your vehicle.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we I'll hang up with you, and we'll let Dr. Nelson answer a few of those.
Yeah. Again, this website, handgunlaw.us, have you got a computer?
He's off.
Oh, he's off? Okay. If you do, go to that, and it'll give you all the details in all the states. You know, I don't have them committed to memory, but I know that one of the differences from Ohio to Kentucky is that they have a modified 51% rule in Kentucky for liquor establishments. You can go into restaurants and things that serve alcohol, just not to the bar area. You can't do that in Ohio. And as far as carrying the car, it's very similar, but there might be some small differences. But if you can get to that website, they can it'll tell you everything.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and give this out over the air because I love TDI. And John Benner, the guy that runs it, I think the world of him and his whole crew out there, very professional. You want to talk about a bunch of professionals. Mm-hmm. The phone number for Tactical Defense Institute is 937-544-7228. That's 937-544-7228. We went there. We're going back. We recommend you do it. And I know that our buddy's on hold there, so if you heard that number, you can go ahead and clear. Dr. Nelson, there was a court ruling recently, and we got a few minutes left. I want to talk about that before we went.
Yeah, this possibly will impact concealed carry people. We don't know the full implications of it yet because it's very new. And what had happened, there was a Hamilton County case that went to the appellate court, Ohio Court of Appeals, who made a decision that ruled that people with past drug convictions of any type really have to give up the right to carry a gun. They applied for the Supreme Court to make a ruling on it, and the Supreme Court just recently turned that down, so the appellate court is upheld. And what that implies is that if you've had a drug conviction in the past, even a minor one, that you can't carry a gun. Now, we don't know, and this immediately impacted the police force here, because many of the policemen back in years ago have had maybe a minor thing with marijuana or something.
Right.
And that immediately discounted their ability to have a gun. And it will impact the concealed carry, but we haven't really seen that trickle through yet.
Right.
We're just kind of anticipating what will happen. And we don't know at this point, but it's pretty dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, this is the implications here are pretty significant, because a lot of it, a lot of people, you know, have got like a minor misdemeanor drug conviction from, you know, I think they call them pot tickets or whatever. I mean, this kind of thing, you can make a couple of mistakes when you're 18 that later on in life, you know, all of a sudden you're, sounds like you could be working as a police officer and all of a sudden find yourself fired.
That's right. In fact, they had a film clip here that was showing that they had to kind of remove some of the police immediately and in lieu of a decision as to what was going to happen.
You know, what is the reasoning behind that? I mean, are you telling me that you got a man who's on the police department? Obviously, he's in good standing because he's working. You know, because if he wasn't an effective officer, he wasn't doing a good job, he wouldn't be there. Something he did at a, you know, earlier in life that was not a crime of harm to any human being has now precluded him from his career. I mean, what are we? I mean, what is behind this? I mean, I think what's behind it is it's an anti-gun move, and in any way they can, they attack firearms.
Because the NRA is so strong, they can't attack it directly. So this is kind of an indirect.
Indirect attack.
Right. You know, this isn't really new, though. Honestly, this is not new. It's been the case for a long time that if you have a drug conviction, you're under a disability in Ohio law. It's just that we haven't really paid attention
because of concealed carry.
And we really felt as though that the Sixth Circuit would be overturned when it got to the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court said, no, we're not going to listen to – we're not going to hear that. And basically what the court is saying is, listen, if you have a minor misdemeanor, and that's just a ticket.
Right.
You may have gone in front of a judge and not even had an attorney because you couldn't afford one. That in and of itself, they're saying there is a mechanism in 29-23-14 to get a relief from a weapons disability. And they say all of you are going to be taken care of in that. The problem is that some people can have a string of maybe bad behavior or bad decision making, you know, when they're 18, 19, 20. And then later on, they may not be able to get this relief. And keep in mind, too, that once you get relief, that doesn't mean it's forever.
No.
At any time, the court could take it away.
Right.
So, you know, at 18, 19, 20, I look back, you know, I'm a little older than that, and the thoughts that I could have just completely obliterated my Second Amendment rights at that time is frightening.
Yeah,
and
it ought
we
to be.
Do have police officers who've had to have those disabilities removed in order to have firearms. I'm not sure how much effect it'll be, but I think that what they're trying to get at is if it were really zero tolerance, we would lose a lot of good police officers.
Right. And, you know, it is unnecessary. There's no real connection between what happened then and what they're doing today to these officers and to the private gun owner that will eventually be affected by this trash.
It's very extreme and reactionary, in my opinion, and premature. It might impact concealed carry people because the people I train go to get their license and.
Yeah.
And a lot of them get their license even though they've had a minor problem in the past.
And
that's nonviolent. And now, what's their status? We don't really
know. I'll tell you, the hour goes so fast, it's just amazing how quick the trigger time is over. We want to thank you for joining us, remind you to join the NRA. Dr. Nelson, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Joe.
Anytime.
Okay, that's it for another hour of Trigger Time with Joe Barrett. We'd like to encourage our listeners to responsibly exercise their Second Amendment rights by being armed whenever legal and joining the NRA. Please visit our website, www.triggertimewithjoe.com, and email questions and suggestions to info@triggertimewithjoe.com. Tune in next Sunday at 7 p.m. for another hour of Trigger Time here on 55KRC, The Talk Station.